We're holding at the bottom of Chofei HaMeralesh, first line, the wide lines. We learned in the Mishnah, we said that we trust Amei HaAretz about the Tara of Truma only during the time of Kresim, because then they're retire themselves, and then we said also we do need to allow a loophole in order for the Kohenim to get Truma, to get most of the Truma of Eretz Yisrael at some point or other. We said, Over Agitis V'Abadim, if the time of pressing the grapes and the olives has passed, Ve'evil Chavos Shariyayin, and they bring him a barrel of wine of Truma, Lo Yikablena Hemeder, the Kohen with Chavar is not allowed to accept it from him, Avmanicha L'Gasabba, but we said that you can tell them, or take it back home, save it by you until the next correcting the season and then bring it. So, Boim Renato of Shades, over the Kibla. What happens if the Kohen was over on this Takana and he went and accepted it from Amoret? Marashi Yanichenel, the Gathabach, and he keep it around until the next pressing? Because the thing is, we're saying the Amoret can take it back home. We're saying the Amoret respects Truma to the extent he's not going to drink it himself. And once we say that, you know, we'll trust him to keep it for Tara till next time, basically. The Chavar, on the other hand, the Chavar was a Kohen. On the one hand, sure, he'll keep it for Tara. On the other hand, he may just figure himself one day, you know what, I'll just pour myself a drink from it. It's Truma anyhow, I may as well use it. And then he wouldn't be allowed to.
Because if
we're saying he's supposed to save it for the next pressing season, but he himself may not feel any compunction about using it, meanwhile, whereas the artist will. We have a Mishnah that talks about something else, but we can learn from that for this. If you have an Amma Oretz passed away, he had two children, one had two who are inheriting from him, one's a Chavar, one's an Amma Oretz. Now the problem is like this, that First of all, we could be talking about Truma over here. We could be talking about that all three of them are Kohenim. The father and the two children are Kohenim. And then we're talking about Truma. Or we could be talking about, even about Chulin, but there's a din that other things being equal, you're not allowed to make Tahar food in Eretz Yisrael Tamei. The meaning that you can't directly go and give Taharis, even Chulin, to an Amma Oretz, because he'll make a tummy. So, Yochaloy Malay, however, the Chavar, when they're dividing up the inheritance, can tell him, Turnalata Chitin Shabmakam Plaini, Vani Chitin Shabmakam Plaini. He can tell him, for example, you take the wheat that's in this place, and I'll take the wheat from the other place. Namely, for example, you have one, the wheat over here, he knows has already been Mokshal the Kabal Toma. The wheat in the other place is not yet, therefore it's still Tahar. You're allowed to do that, or you can tell him Terlat the Yain Shem Makom Plani Vani Yain Makom Plani, or you can tell him you take the wine that's in such and such a place, and I'll take the wine that's in the other place, which you know is Tahar. No, that's not the point. No, the point is the second part of the Mishnah. It's not so much one place for another. It could just as well be two different corners of the house or whatever. We're talking about two children who are yarshining from their father. The father was an Amma Oretz. The children, one's a Chavar, one's an Amma Oretz. Now, you can't...
All Kayanim?
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it is they're all Kayanim, and we're talking about Truma. The other way of looking at it is we're talking about... The other way we're looking at it is we could be talking about it's even Chulin, but there's a din you're not allowed to cause Chulin, and now it's Israel to become Tommy, which by giving it to an Amma Oretz, you would be. The point is, you can't directly give it to your brother, the Amma Oretz. What can you do? But that's the thing. If it's all one kind of thing, if it's all, for example, all wheat or all wine or what have you, and you're just some of you splitting, I'm taking some of it, you're taking some of it, you're not actually giving him anything. Rashi says we apply the concept of breira over here. We've had the concept of breira before in Yuma and in some other places that we can have retroactively something is we determine after the fact that this is how it was supposed to be all along. We have this in Beis towards the end of Beis, so also, actually by a thing of Yerusha there as well. So here the idea would be, if the Chavar is saying, for example, I'm going to take the wheat over here, which I know has always been dry, you're going to take the wheat over there, it turns out retroactively then all along, that was his portion, you're not giving him anything. But you can't tell them tear out the lifeline of it. You can't tell them, for example, you take the liquids and I'll take the dry stuff, or tear out the chitin vanisa'urim, or you take the wheat and I'll take the barley. Because then, given that both of them are the yoshin, you can't say when the father died, each one of them has a portion of the wheat, each one of them has a portion of the barley, of the wine, etc. You can't now go and trade, you take all the wine, because it's tame anyway, and I'll take the wheat, let's say, because it's not tame, because it's dry. You can't do that, because then that's the equivalent of it, you giving him your share of the wine. And then it'll be tame. You're causing that chulin to become tame.
But right now, why can't you, right now tame also, right? That's why he's giving it to him.
No, well, that's...
Why did it tell
me? Right, but that's the point. If it's not Tommy yet, though, for example, then it might be Tommy, it might not. We're not certain that the Amoret, the father, made it Tommy. Maybe not. Yeah. So you can't explicitly give it to your friend, to your brother, who then is more likely going to make it Tommy.
Right.
Because that's the problem. Then you're giving him chulin that didn't belong. Let's say we're talking about chulin over here. You're giving him chulin that didn't belong to him beforehand, because as of when the father died, you're supposed to have this portion, and now you're giving it to him, and you're causing, therefore, that chulin to become tame. But he's not going to be careful in Trum of Atara. The point is, that's not really the point. But Tani Allah, the point is that a Braisa explains, Oise Chavar, so now what does the Chavar do with what he got? If he ends up, for example, there was wine, for example. So we're saying he can't trade the wine for something else, which means he ends up getting a share of the wine. What do you do with it? He can't drink it. It may be tummy. Oise Chavar, Sirev Halacha Maniach HaSayavish. He burns the liquids. This is Rashi says, for example, if they're koyanim, and among the liquids over there that he inherited a barrel of oil of truma. So fine, you use it for lighting, because that's what you do with truma tomato. But and he sets aside the dry stuff, because that may or may not have become tummy. The question is, am I any kind of lagasaba? So you're telling me that going back to the question. Remember, the reason we're bringing this in is because they asked of Sheshit if the Amoret brings Truma to the Kohen out of season. Can the Kohen himself keep it around until Gathaba? Now, this case is similar to that. In this case, the Chavar inherits from his father sometime out of season. We're saying he can't drink the wine right then and there. Fine, but Bepashtus, he should be able to keep it till the next season. And if you see that he can't, we're saying Sirdif, that he actually has to burn it, implies that, no, you can't keep it around. By the same token, then, if there's the Amoret, bring it to the Chavar, same thing. Well, it says, no, maybe not.
You can maybe burn it into the next season.
No, there's no reason. No, you don't have to burn it right away so you don't accidentally drink it. But the point is, we're not saying you can keep it around. What do you mean Sirdif? You should be able to keep it around. Okay, you can answer, but Tavashe and Lagas. We're not talking about, for example, wine or oil, which have a season when they're pressed. It's talking about things that there's no particular season. Rashi gives an example. Let's say let's say the father had taken dates of truma and made beer out of them. There's no particular season for making that. The question is, why don't we say that he should be allowed to leave it till the next Yom Tov? Because as we're going to learn in a Mishnah, we're going to learn later, the reason why we're bringing all these things of Tumah V'Tahara is because the dinim of Tumah Tamar don't apply during Yom Tov, as we're going to learn later. We mentioned it briefly, but now on Chavav Amar Aleph and Amar Beis, we're going to talk about it more extensively. Yeah. The answer is Bedavashena Mishtamer Lurago. Okay, but we're talking about something that's not going to keep until the next Yom Tov. You're right. If it would keep, then fine. Technically, you could keep it around till then, and then already Tara Samaritis is okay, and then he's fine. But if it's perishable, then and it's not something that has a gas, then there's not something you can keep. Then and therefore there's no choice. He's going to have to destroy it. Rashi says sort of doesn't necessarily mean burning it. If it's beer, for example, you can't burn it, but okay, it means you destroy it. That's one reason why this business. When we get to Truma Samaritz, we'll talk about it a little. There's a Sikha and Chavik Zion where they ever analyzes it also. Then the Mishnah said, "Bim Omer Yifrashti L'Seicha Raviyas Kodesh Nem," and we said that if the Amoritz comes to you with a barrel of Truma, and he says, within it there's a Raviyas of Kodesh. We talked about yesterday the possibilities either that he's intending to make Kodesh out of it, or he put oil on top of it as a sealant, yeah, whatever. Nem, and then we believe him on the whole barrel. So the Gemara is going to bring in something else, which will bear on this. Tnanha. Some we learned this in Pesachim, it's a Mishnah in Aulis. Modin Bishama or Basilah Shabokin Loise Pesach. Both Bishama and Basilah agree. They have machlokes about a nazir, but they both agree when it comes to people who are going to bring the Korban Pesach, that they can check a Beis HaPras to be able to go through it. The Ein Bodkin La'ichle Truma, but they cannot check it for people who need to pass through the Truma. A Beis HaPras, we talked about in Pesachim, we've had a few times, is a field where there was a caver in it and someone plowed the field. We're concerned that the plow may have dug up the grave and scattered pieces of bones all over the place. So therefore, ordinarily, you pass through a Beis HaPras, your tummy. Beis Shammai would still argue whether a Nazir is able to check it carefully and then be able to walk through. But they both agree that when it comes to, if you have to pass through such a place to go to bring the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim, that you're allowed to do. You're allowed to be Bodik, how you're Bodik we'll talk about in a second. But on the other hand, if you have to pass through, because there's Truma on the other side, that you can't. You have to go the long way around. My Bodkin, what do we mean by checking it? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Menapeach Adam Beis HaPras V'Holos, here's one possibility, that a person can be blowing as he's walking through the Beis HaPras and going. Either he walks basically on his hands and knees and blows as he goes along, or he takes a long tube or bellows or something. The point is, what are we afraid about? We're afraid that there may be pieces of bone around there that you might touch. If you blow as you're going along, you blow away the dirt. If there's any bones, you'll see them and you'll know to stay away from them.
Really?
Yeah.
On the ground.
Yeah. You're blowing as you're going along to make sure that there's no pieces of bone mixed in with the dirt.
Sounds a little funny because bone is some mud, it's not going to blow, you're not going
to
blow it away.
No, that's the point. You won't blow away the bone. You'll blow away the mud, you'll blow away the dirt, and then you'll see the bone and know to go around it.
If it's 2 inches.
No, then it's not going to be matami you because an individual bone is only matami if you touch it or if you carry it. In order for it to be matami ba'oil, it either has to be rov binyan, most of the bones of the body together, or rov minyan rather that is, or rov binyan, it has to be most of the structure of the body, like a couple of leg bones together or something, or it has to be a skull or a shedra or whatever. So unless it's one of those big things, and if it was, you'd notice those, then it's not matami ba'oil.
You get that and it's even going to fall apart. Now the golden machine now
No, no, we're talking about the concern is that the plow may have broken it up into tiny little pieces.
Yeah.
And a bone, even the size of a sa'ira, the size of a barley corn, of a grain of barley, is enough to be matami
you. But
only b'magu v'masa.
Right, right.
But oil, you need more than that. That's the thing. Oil, we're not so worried about.
How much do you need for oil?
Oil, that's what I just said. You need either Rov Minyan would be 125 bones out of the 248. Rov Minyan would be most of the frame of the body, like I think two arm bones and a leg bone or something like that. I forget the details exactly. And we're not talking about tiny little fragments. Or it has to be a head or a shedra or whatever. But a little tiny piece of bone is not going to be the time of oil.
You know that, thing that was uncovered in England, that would be Rovinian or Rovinian?
I don't know about which king you're talking about, but if they found a whole skeleton, if that's a whole skeleton, that would be Rovinian. He is still coming. That's the point. See, Napea, so you blow away the dirt, and that way you see any piece of the bone there and you stay away from that. And another din, here's another din that we're making for people who are making a Korban Pesach, that a Beis HaPras that was stepped on, that everybody, that a bunch of people and animals walked around in it, then now is now Tahar as far as the people can pass through it to bring a Pesach. Why? There's a few different reasons given, but one of the most basic ones is if you have so many people and animals walked around in it, any bits of bone that are left have probably been broken up to less than a piece of to less than a barley grain in size, and now they're not matame anymore. And there are actually other mafarshim will give other possibilities that maybe they stamp around and therefore therefore all the dust is gone and therefore if there's any bones you'll see them or whatever. Okay. Anyway.
The animal ate them.
Anyway. So now, why is it? Why do we make a difference between Pesach and Truma? Because lo'ose Pesach lo'yeh midu divrei. When it comes to making a Korban Pesach, since there's kares involved, if you don't bring it on time, the chamim did not make the gzeira be in effect for this purpose. Even though they made a gzeira that you can't walk through a Beis HaPras for 100 amas each side of the grave, and if you do, you're talmim and drop on it. Not to the point where if it's going to cause you a delay in bringing your Korban Pesach, which is a chiyuv karis, then they're not going to do that. On the other hand, well, it's like Truma, Hamid Dragram, Makamissa. When it comes to a Kohen wants to go to eat Truma and pass through such a field, they upheld their Zera. You don't have to eat Truma right away, you can eat the Truma tomorrow. There's no particular deadline for it. Go around, go a long way around rather than taking your chance with the Beis HaPass.
Midaraisi
wouldn't be tameh because it's only in one place in the field. There's a grave. Mistama, it's more likely minatara that the plow did not break up the grave, or forget that if it did, it broke it up enough that nothing is tameh anymore. It's only midrabanan. We're worried about tumah over there. Yeah. So now the question is, they had a question. What happens? The person is checking this beis hapras in order to pass through to bring his carbon Pesach, is he now that he's in Yerushalayim, is he also allowed to eat Truma?
Because he would be considered Tomei?
Ordinarily, we would say for purposes of Truma, we'd consider him Tomei for having passed through a Beis HaPras, which he wasn't supposed to. But since we're allowing him to be Tahor for Pesach, is he also Tahor for Truma? Ula says yes, if he checked for Pesach, he is now allowed to eat Truma, because once he checked for one, it's good for the other. Rabba Bar Ula Amma, no, Bodek Kapitzka also Lacha B'Truma, said nevertheless, he's still not allowed to eat Truma. Yes, we do maybe consider him Tahor. We lifted the Xeira for Pesach, but we're still considering him Tomei for Truma, yeah. So a certain old Talmud Chacham says Tardam about Ula. Many Mefarshim say that the Hahu Sava throughout Shas means Eliyahu Hanavi. Tells him, Lotif Magaleja Ula. You shouldn't argue with Ula. That's not a Kavafei, because we see a Mishnah that goes like him. Which Mishnah? Our Mishnah. By the Amoritz, we're saying he has a barrel of Truma, but he says there's a Revius Kodesh in it. We believe him on the whole thing. Alma, Mehemen Akodesh, Mehemen Nami Atruma. Which means that since the Amoritz is trusted now about Kodesh, automatically we trust him about Truma as well, because it's all in the same container. Hachanami, the same thing over here. Mehemen Pesach. Since we trust him that he was careful not to become Tomei in the Beis HaPras, as far as Pesach, Mehemen Nami Atruma, then we can also rely on that as far as Truma and allow him to eat Truma.
And
it's considered Tahor for Truma as well. Then the Mishnah said, Kade Yayin v'kade Shemen Chulo, that we said, barrels of wine and barrels of oil that are Meduma, we said, which we'll talk about in a minute now, what means Meduma, Meduma literally means mix. Then we said that we trust them on them during the time of pressing and also 70 days beforehand. Pana, we learned in a Braisa, Ein Ne'emonim Loyal Kankanim V'Loyal Atruma. However, during that time, we do not trust them about empty containers and we don't trust them about Truma during the 70 days. Question is, you ask Kankanim Demai, what kind of barrels are we talking about? He Kankanim de Kodesh. If you're talking about barrels of Kodesh, meaning that had Kodesh in them, what's the problem? Migu de Mehemen HaKodesh, Hemen Nami HaKankanim. You trust him that he kept the Kodesh itself, Tahor, you should also trust him about the barrels. Ela Kankanim de Truma. So you're telling me that we're talking about barrels of Truma? Well, then of course, Pshita, Hasha, Truma le Mehemen HaKankanim Mehemen. Of course, if he's not trustworthy about the Truma, you can't trust him about the barrels that it's in either. So what are we talking about?
Actually, if I was the same as we did just now in the other brisa, that when he was considered the Tahor of the Truma, the Tahor of the Kodesh, which is the Tahor of the Truma.
During the time of the pressing, but we're talking about the 70 days beforehand, when we trust him on Kodesh, but not on, when we trust him already on Kodesh, and we trust him even on Meduma, as we'll talk about in a second, but not on plain old Truma.
Right.
That's the question. When we say that he's not trustworthy on Kankanim, what kind of Kankanim are we talking about? Yeah, during the 70 days. Yeah. Ella, so no, you're right, what it means is bidei kanim de kodesh, it means empty barrels for kodesh, or rishayim ois hashana, during the rest of the year. When we say empty, meaning in other words, so you have, he prepared a barrel of wine for kodesh, now he went and poured that wine into another container, into a chavur's container, let's say. We don't trust him about the barrel itself anymore, that the barrel is tahor. Even though we allowed it as the empty barrel, we allowed it as long as the Kodesh was in it, but as soon as it empties it out, then that's it.
Well,
yeah.
He's going to use it and...
No, not because he's going to use it. Wait. But Ekanim de Kodesh, or Rishayim Rosh Hashanah, so it applies to empty barrels of Kodesh throughout the year. Uvumalayim de Truma, Rishat HaGiddes, and it also applies to full ones of Truma, even during the pressing season. We said before, the reason why we're mekel during the pressing season, besides the fact that they're matahar themselves, we wouldn't only rely on that, because after all, they could become tamei without realizing it. The other reason is because we wanted to give a loophole, we wanted to allow the kohenim to be able to have truma sometime. But we don't need to declare the barrel tamei for that purpose. All we need to do is when the Ama Aretz brings a barrel of truma to the kohen, even in season, even in the pressing season, you take the barrel, pour it into your own container, and return it empty.
that is.
And that's and that you're allowed to do, but you're not allowed to keep the container. You're not allowed to keep the container because we're still goyzer truma on the container. Same thing with Kodesh, then we're saying that he's got it from an Amoret.
Right, buddy. He got it when it was Kodesh.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. No, so with Kodesh we will. As long as the barrel is full of Kodesh, then fine. Once he empties out the once he pours out the Kodesh from it, the barrel itself is automatically tameh now, because Amoret is handling it. And as far as Truma, we don't even go that far. The barrel itself, the whole time, remains tameh. He has to. We allow the wine to be tahor, but he has to pour out the wine into another container.
Who's doing the pouring? Only the kohen or
the pashtus, the chaver is doing it.
As soon as he enters the barrel, it's considered
tameh.
Yeah. And though the barrel is full, it's considered tahor.
When it's kodesh.
Or
when it's truma during season, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And before he ends, that's the last few drops. Yeah.
No, actually, that's what we're saying. No, for truma, even during the season, the barrel itself is tameh.
Right,
because there's no reason to be maple on the barrel.
Right.
Yeah.
But so if he's pouring the wine, he puts it down, his hands become tameh.
Okay, so his hands are tameh. Fine, I'll wash his hands. And not necessarily his hands are going to be tameh, just from touching a tameh to the keli, unless there's liquid involved. And he's not. If the outside of the keli is dry, his hands won't become tameh from it. The thing says, Tanan, let's consider. Our Mishnah says, Kade yayin v'kade shemen ha-medumais. We said that if you have barrels of wine or oil that are meduma, my love medumais and truma. Now, the usual word medumais means that there's truma and chulin mixed together.
So we're questioning
what we just said. Yeah, whenever the Gemara says Tanan, it means let's question what we just said based on a Mishnah.
Right.
Yeah. We said that the barrels themselves he's not trusted on, and they're Tameh, but the Mishnah had mentioned Kade Yayin V'Kade Shemen HaMedumais. Meduma usually means Shuma and Chulin mixed together. And we're mentioning Kade, meaning jugs or barrels. So it sounds like the barrels themselves are okay, because there's Shuma in there. Once we allow him for the truma, because it's the time of pressing, then we'll also allow the barrel. No, it means meduma as far as that there's kodesh mixed in. One second, the question is, how is there such a thing? Mela with truma, there's a concept of meduma, because the truth is, when we talk about meduma, usually meduma means truma and chulin mixed together. That's not what we're doing. Even according to the Gemara's Hava, that's not what it meant. In other words, it's not that he separated out truma and then it accidentally fell into the chulin. The Gemara's Havam in it was that Meduma over here means Tevel. It's Meduma in the sense Truma has to be taken out of it. The Amoret is aware of that. All Amoret were careful about Truma in those days. So therefore he knows that there's Truma in there, and therefore during the pressing time we can trust him about it. But the question is, that doesn't fit with what we said, because then we said the Mishnah implies the barrel is Tahor during the pressing time, and we just said the barrel is Tahor. So now we're saying no, Meduma means there's Kodesh mixed in. The question is, when it comes to Truma, you can call it meduma. It makes sense to call it meduma. You know you have to take truma out of it. As long as you have it, you can call it truma is mixed in with it. You don't have to take out kodesh from anything. There's no specific chiyuv to take out kodesh from a barrel. How can you call it meduma? What's the logic to call it that there's kodesh mixed in, as though like there's something in there that has to be kodesh and you have to remove it? Why? Who says there has to be anything kodesh in there in the first place?
Meduma means that you have truma with.
Usually the word meduma means that you separated out truma and then it fell into chulin.
Right.
Here we're not talking about that. For sure we're not talking about that. The habamina was that the word meduma here means tevel. What we usually call tevel, we're calling it meduma.
Tevel is
when you haven't taken out truma yet.
Truma.
So then fine, you can say you have to take out the truma. As long as you haven't, effectively there's truma mixed in there. But you don't say the same thing about kodesh. Kodesh is a voluntary thing. So what are you calling it meduma? Other Mephoroshim say the point of the Gemara's question is the word meduma is related to the word bedimacha, which refers to truma. It's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. So that you can't call something that has kodesh mixed into it meduma. The language doesn't fit. So that's the question. And the answer is, Ami Dvei Rabbi Loi, v'metairach tivloi litum menu nesachim. Right, but what we're talking about is an Amoret who's making sure that his tevel is tahor when he's pressing the grapes or the olives. He's making sure to keep it tahor in order that it can be used for nesachim. So therefore, effectively, it is midruma in the sense there is truma in this barrel as well, because he's going to have to take out truma before it can be used for nesachim. But there's also, in addition, it has a status for kodesh because he's planning to use it for kodesh.
He's planning it still be for kodesh?
That's what we're saying, because he's preparing it for kodesh.
Watching it.
Yeah. So he's watching it. Now, what's the point? Rashi says the difference is like this. It would be nice for Kodesh to say that the Kodesh itself was an atomic barrel. Because we don't want to do that, therefore we say that the barrel itself stays Tahar. But only in that case. That's why the Mishnah is mentioning Kadeh Yayim, Kadeh Shem, and Hamadrumais. Only if it's Madruma, that Truma hasn't been taken out yet, but it's also being prepared for the purpose of Kodesh, then we'll accept that the barrel itself is Tahar. Until he empties it. But if it was just plain Chulin and Truma together, meaning just plain Tevel, not meant for Kodesh, we wouldn't even trust the barrel itself. As soon as the Chavar receives it, no, not everything is Tomei. No, during the season it's not Tomei.
Not during the season.
No, we're talking about during the season. But even during the season, the Chavar has to take the barrel, pour out from it into his own barrel, then return the Tomei barrel to that moment. Right.
Interesting how and he gives it for the Zvachim, so before it's out, which is in Kodesh, it becomes Tamil.
Yeah, Rashi points out, I mean, we had a precedent for this. We had the other day, we said about the case over there where the tumor in the house and there's something blocking the entrance to the attic, the skylight to the attic, there's a pot over there or whatever, it belonged to an Amma artist. We said over there that according to Bishamai, it comes out. If you have Kli Cheres up in the attic, it stays Tahar, but the contents of it, you had a case over there that's rather the, no, the other way around, sorry, not a Cheres. If you had a metal bottle, let's say, the bottle becomes Tomei, Tumas Mes, because you can tovel it in the mikveh. The water or whatever it is inside, it stays Tahar, because you can't tovel it in a mikveh. So we see there is precedent that the container and the contents can have different dinim.
I have a question. How can you have the intent of giving to Kadesh before you have the truma?
Why not?
Because you haven't removed the truma.
So what? So you haven't yet officially declared it Kodesh, but you're saying, I'm preparing this for the purpose of Kodesh. I'm making sure to keep the standards of Kodesh. Now, you can't use it for Nesachim until truma is taken out. Mimashke Yisrael. You can only use things on the Mizbeach because you didn't necessarily make it Kodesh yet. You said I'm preparing it for the purpose of Kodesh.
You didn't make it Kodesh yet. You're preparing it.
That's good enough. When we say, that's what we're saying. The Yehuda, we trust them on Taras, Yain, Hashem, and Koyim, Hashanah. Because they made it, they were makdish it when they're pressing it. So fine, you can be makdish it before you take out the truma. Why not? You makdish everything except for the truma. You makdish out of this barrel, 1/50th has to go to truma. So I makdish 49 parts out of this barrel, and the 50th will go to Kohen. Next. Continue, the Mishnah says, more on this topic about when we trust the Tahara of Kalim or not. From Modiim, which is the city of Modiim in Israel, and further in, closer to Yerushalayim, you can trust about Klei Cheres. You can trust the Tahara of Klei Cheres. What does this mean? Modiim is a city. It's 15 mil from Yerushalayim.
It's still the same city as today?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, now it's a lot bigger, but yeah. The thing is like this. In Yerushalayim, we're going to learn on Chavav and Aleph. In Yerushalayim, you were not allowed to have furnaces for making Klei Cheres, for making earthenware. Because the smoke of them makes the walls or whatever dirty. So you're not allowed to have those in Yerushalayim. It's one of the ten special dinim that apply to Yerushalayim. Now, on the other hand, in Yerushalayim, there's a constant need for small Klei Cheres. We're not talking about the big kinds that you store wine or oil in for months at a time. We're talking about the smaller ones that you use for dishes, you know, the pots and pans and cups and whatnot. The problem is that the problem is, in particular, when you use them for kudshim, when you use a pot, for example, an earthenware pot to cook kudshim, afterwards, the flavor that's absorbed into the sides of the pot becomes nicer, and you have to break the pot. You can't use it anymore. So there's a constant need for replacements of these things, and you can't make them in Yerushalayim. Not because of that, though. Because it's going to have to be broken afterwards. So because of that, the Chachamim made a takana that we allow, if an Amma'aret potter, an Amma'aret earthenware maker, a potter, comes within the 15 mil of Yerushalayim from Medin and further in, we can trust him that his pots are tahar and buy them. Because of this, because the Chachamim realized that otherwise you're going to have a very hard time of it. How else are you going to get pots? How else are you going to get pots and plates and whatever that you constantly need? For Kodesh, yeah, the whole thing is Heimomer or Heimomer. Yeah, they said that Amma'aret atame, so they can also waive it in certain cases.
When you break the Kli Cheres, why can't they break it?
They could break it, but then you need a new one. we're going to do the next time around for Kakata.
For one use.
So, lot of
yeah.
Things. So what's the problem?
That's the problem. You bring a schlum in, for example.
Right.
You bring the meat home. You cook it in a pot.
Right.
2 days later, the flavor in that pot is nicer, and you have to break it.
Right.
Next time, you want to bring a schlum in. You need a new pot. In your saliva, they're eating a lot of kudzu. So there's a constant need for replacements. That's what we're saying. And since you can't make new ones in your shalayim, so the Chachamim allow you to buy ones within a 15 mil radius of your shalayim. Yeah. That's what we just said, because you can't have, because a furnace that you make earthenware in produces a lot of smoke. The Chacham didn't want that in your shalayim. No, because the smoke darkens and dirties the walls of the city. From outside Medina, no, we do not trust the sellers unless they're Chaverim. Ketzad, what does this mean? Hakadosho Merchach Deiris, when you have a potter selling pots, and he's an Amaret, Nichnes Lufnim Min Amedim, if he comes within Medim, so he comes within 15 mil of Yerushalayim, Hu Hakader, then as long as he himself is the same potter, who made the pots, meaning not that he gave them to another dealer to sell for him.
Right.
The Hainach Deiris, and they're the same pots that he himself brought. He can't buy new ones locally, he can just bring the ones that he brought from outside. The Hain Haloichin, and it's the same Chaverim who are buying, who see that he brought them. Then we believe we trust him that they're Tahar. The Rambam has a different explanation. Means even if it's the same potter on the same pots and the same people, they see him inside Medim, they're allowed to buy, but as soon as he leaves the city, Yotze ain't a Nemon. As soon as he leaves the city, they're not allowed to, even though you wouldn't think how could there possibly have been any difference whether he's on this side of the city or on that side. But that's the Takana. Yeah. Now, we said Medim v'lefnim and Medim v'lachutz. So we're saying from within Medim and from outside it. What about in the city itself? What's the deal? If you eat Medim itself, what's the din? Tana. That's what we're saying. No, from Medim closer to your shalayim. Medim is 15 mil from your shalayim. So
in between.
So the question is, what about Medim itself? Tana, we learn a price. So Medim, palmim kalufnim, palmim kalachot. Sometimes Medim is considered like inside, so sometimes you're allowed, sometimes you're not allowed to. Okay, said. Kadur yotze v'chover nichna. Suppose you have the potter, again, who's an Amoret, is leaving. He's on his way out. He's coming from Yerushalayim and passing through Medim on the way back to his hometown. V'chaber nichnas, and a chaber is coming into the city. Tilifnim. Then we consider Medim as if it was like further in. You're allowed to buy the pots from him because the potter is coming from within. Is coming from within Yerushalayim. If you don't buy from him, Rashi says you're not going to have another chance to buy from him because he's not going to bother returning to Yerushalayim. So therefore, we'll allow you to buy from him even in Medim.
Coming from the kosher side.
Yes, but he's still in Modiim. So therefore, that's what we're saying. We'll allow him to. On the other hand, Shneim Nechnasim, if both of them are coming in, or Shneim Yotzim, if both of them are leaving, then we consider Modiim like the outside. Why? Because if both of them are coming into the city, why buy from him in Modiim? Wait till you get past Modiim, till you're in the zone, closer to your shalayim, and buy from him then. Don't have to extend the takana any more than necessary. And if both of them are leaving, you could have bought from him. You could have bought from him earlier. You didn't bother. So then fine. In this case, then the Chacham aren't going to give you that dispensation anymore. And Rashi says, how much more so if the potter is coming towards your shalayim and you're leaving, then Adarabba, if you definitely want to buy from him, go back. So go turn around and go back until he gets past the city and then buy from him. So therefore, that's why the Mishnah doesn't mention Medim specifically, because the din of Medim really depends on the situation. Yeah, we can actually see that from the words of the Mishnah. We said that if he comes within Medim, between Medim and Yerushalayim, which means time of the Medim, which means only if he's within Medim, only if he's past the city. Time how Medim go for Leima Haman, but in Medim itself we wouldn't believe him. But then Ema Sefer, then the Mishnah continues, Yotze Ein Neman, and if he leaves we don't believe him. How Medim go for Neman, which implies that in Medim itself he'd be fine. Elolav Shmamina, so therefore we can prove, like what it says in the Braisa, Kan Bakadri Yotze V'chaber Nichnas, one's talking about where the potter is leaving and the chaber is coming in, so this is the last opportunity to buy, so the Chachamim extended the thing and allowed him to buy it in Medim. The other one is where both of them are leaving or both of them are coming, and then we don't have that dispensation. Shmami not good, that proves it. We were talking about, now Rashi had mentioned in the Mishnah that we're talking specifically about small clay seres, the kind that you constantly have to replace. What about now, what about big ones? The Tana, we learned about it. Ne'eman v'klei cheres ha'dakim l'kodesh. Specifically, we trust them only about the small ones as far as kodesh.
That means small.
Now, what do we mean by small? What's the definition? Amar Shlokish. V'hush nitolim b'yada ahas. This is only if they're small enough to be held in one hand. Rabbi Yechanan says no. After the shein nitolim b'yada ahas. No. It can even be where they're too big, where they have to be held with both hands. Mepharshim talk about, does that mean that Rabbi Yechanan says that all Mishnah is just saying Klei Cheres means a blanket statement, the Mishnah is disagreeing with the Braisa, and I'm going according to the Mishnah, so it doesn't matter the size of the Kalim, or is it that he's saying I agree with the Braisa, I accept that the Braisa is saying Dakin, but Dakin doesn't mean quite as small as you're saying. It can mean bigger than that also, but not really huge ones. Another din, Omer Rish Lakish Leshanu El Rikonin, Av Malayim Hoy. Rish Lakish says you can only trust them on the tahara of empty containers, but not full ones, because they're full. You have to assume it's out of season, it's out of the pressing season. You can't assume the liquid is a tahar. But Rabbi Yechanan, I'm after the Malayim. Rabbi Yechanan says no, even if the containers are full, then it's okay. Even if the Amaretz is actual, his headscarf is actually inside the container. Where normally we would say his headscarf is Tomei Midras, because we said maybe he sits on it, maybe his wife was sat on it when she's a Nidra or whatever, and therefore normally it would be Matame the inside of the Kali.
It's dry.
Yeah, well, the scarf is dry, right, but a Kli Cheres becomes Tomei from the inside. We're talking about Kli Cheres up here. So if the Amaretz's scarf is hanging into the Kali, and the scarf is Tomei, the Kali is automatically going to be Tomei as well.
It just depends on how big the opening is?
Or? No, it doesn't matter how big the opening is. Yeah, a Kli Cheres is Matame Me'avira. There we were talking about elsewhere in the country. Here we're talking about within the 15-mil radius of Yerushalayim, from within Modim. What Rabbi Yechanan is saying is, once the Chachamim allow you to say that Kalim in that zone are Tahar, then it doesn't matter, even if right now you see that the Amaretz's scarf is hanging inside it, you can still accept fine. In this case, the scarf is not Tahar.
Coming within this distance of your shrine,
maybe
it's a
kind
of way, regardless whether they're full, they're not full, they're
tall. That's what Rabbi Yechanan is saying. Rabbi Yechanan does agree that the liquid themselves will be tomei. So yes, if you have if the Amaretz is selling a barrel of wine within the zone, within the 15 mil, and there's liquid in it, and let's say even a scarf is hanging inside it, We'll allow you to buy the keli. We'll consider the keli tahar, but the liquid will be tummy. We'll consider the liquid as tummy because of its scarf or just because of Trumas Amaretz in general. But al titma, don't be surprised about that. Like we just said, shari login mashkin molly mashkin shari login molly mashkin. We have the case. We have the case on that papay of the bottle full of liquid that was in the attic. We're login tummy and Trumas shiva, where we said the attic becomes the bottle becomes tummy Trumas shiva. It becomes tummy mess. Or mashkin tahrin, but we said the mashkin are tahrin because the Shammai said that since there's no way to be matar then we'll be makel on it, because Amaretz is not going to listen to us otherwise. So we see that the container and the content can have different dinim. Same thing over here. We can say that it's the opposite of what we said before. Before we said the truma is tahrin, but the keli is tummy. Right. Here we're saying the other way around. The keli is tahar, the liquid is tahar.
That's my question.
Yeah. Yeah. It's counterintuitive, but that's what he's saying. That's how helpful tumah v'tahara are sometimes. Yeah. Mishnah says, "Hagaboyin shenichnas l'chaim bayis." If tax collectors come into a house, now with tax collectors, we're talking about Jewish ones, Yashi says. But the thing is, usually in those times, tax collectors were not very honest people. They wouldn't just, it wasn't, in those days, it wasn't like nowadays, you fill out a form 1040 and there's an official amount you're supposed to pay. Yeah, we've talked about that before. Yeah. That in those days, the king would tell the tax collector, you have to collect X amount. You have to collect X amount with you. If you collect any more than that, you can keep it. So the guy will go and then collect whatever, but then also he'll usually collect more and keep it for himself. A lot of tax collectors in those days became very rich from doing this kind of thing. So they're not honest people, and therefore we also can't trust them on Tumah V'Tahara. Well, you know, I mean, I think if Yaakov works for the IRS, remember,
yes.
You know, I mean,
yes.
You know, don't put him in the same category necessarily.
Yeah.
Even, the Gemara talks about Rav Akama, that the Gemara talks about Rav Akama also in Bechorah, that if it's a tax collector who only collects exactly what he was told to by the king, and it's a legitimate king, dinin machos dinah, then he doesn't have these dinim, then we accept he's an honest person. Yeah. Anyway, so we're concerned. They may have touched things. They're searching throughout the whole house. They may have touched things and made him tummy. V'chena ganovim shechzidu et ha-kelim, and the same thing, ganovim who returned the kelim that they stole. Ne'emonim loy maloy no gainu. We trust them to say that they did not touch the inside of the kelim. Oh, so the gaboyim, now she says, what are they coming into the house? They're coming to collect taxes, but if you don't have money to give them, they're going to just look around and take anything of value that they can to satisfy the tax amount. That's the concern. They may have touched things. They're touching things as they're looking around, as they're searching the house. But we still trust them to say that they didn't make it tome by touching the inside of it. This means, Rashi says, we're talking over here, we trust them again. This is part of the whole thing that we're saying, that these are the areas in which Kodesh is more lenient than Truma. So we'll allow them to say that as far as Kodesh. We'll still consider the Keli to be Tahar as far as Kodesh. We will not consider it to be Tahar as far as Truma.
Why is that? Because they're touching...
Because Kodesh, they're more respectful of. If they know it's Kodesh, yeah, we're talking about. So we trust them to say that they didn't touch. Or Yerushalayim ne'emanan al Kodesh. Then Yerushalayim, we will trust them about Kodesh. Or b'shas haregel achal ha'truma. And during the Yom Tovim, when we suspend the truma tamaret, then we believe them even on kelim of truma. Says a Ramini, you have a contradiction. A Mishnah in Tara says, Hagaboyim shenichnasu l'tzecha bayis, if these tax collectors come into the house, kol habayis kula tomei, the entire house is tomei. Everything in the house, because again, they're searching around for stuff to take, and they may have touched everything. The answer is loikasha. Hod de ikra nachri badayu, hod de leka nachri badayu. One's talking about when there's a goy with them, the other is talking about when there's not a goy with them. What's the difference? Rashi says like this, if there's a goy with them, then they're afraid that he's going to tell on them if they don't do a thorough search. That he'll go master on them to the government if they don't do a thorough search. So therefore, they're going to do a thorough search, and therefore everything is tummy. We can't trust them at that point if they didn't touch things.
Right.
As opposed to, if there's no goy with them, then we can trust them.
Like touching it would make it tummy also?
The goy touching it would also make it tummy, right. But when the goy is there as a supervisor, basically.
Not only the Torah, but it's the year, the glory, the time.
I don't know, not necessarily. And we're going to say in a second, it depends on the type of glory, just a second. Actually, Rabbi Hanan says the other way around, that actually if there's no goy with them, then they feel more free to do whatever they want. If the goy is supervising them, then they're going to stick davka to their job, is how Rabbi Hanan learned it. The Tanan, as we learn in the Mishnah, as the Mishnah there continues in Taras. Im yesh nachri yimoin, if there's a goy with them, ne'mon and loyma loy nechnasnu, then we believe them if they said we didn't come in the first place, to a certain room. Avalay ne'mon and loyma nechnasnu avalay naganu, but we don't trust them to say we did go into this room, but we didn't touch, because once it goes with them, we assume they touched. Question is, v'chiyik nachri ba'day umay havi, so what if there's a goy with them? How does that make a difference? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar argue about it. Chadama emas nachri alehen. One says, like we just said, the fear of the goy is on them. That actually not what I just said. One of them says that the fear of the goy means they're afraid the goy himself may punish them, may find them, or may give them pets or whatever if they don't do the job to his satisfaction. V'chadama emas malchus alehen. The other one of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar says it's not they're afraid of the goy himself, but they're afraid like that he might go master on them to the king. What's the practical difference? The difference is ikibinai nachru she'en echoshu. If the guy is not so important, he's not a supervisor, he's not a sama guy, so they're not a sama word, yeah, so they're not afraid of him, but he could still go tell the king on them. So if we're just worried about himself, they don't have to, then the same din would be whether he's there or not. But if we're worried about that he might go tell on them to the king, then the same rule still applies. That the guy there makes a difference.
They're almost similar, because the guy is you don't trust because he's making money off it. And the guy is, you don't trust, the guy is there, he don't touch him.
No, but that's the thing. The yid we do trust to a certain extent. We're saying that we trust them to say that we didn't touch the kalim in this room, for example. That's an omission. It's saying that we trust them, even if they touch the kelim, to say that they're still kodesh as far that they're still tahor as far as kodesh. They didn't touch the inside of the kelim, which is what would make it tahor. Then the Mishnah continued, "V'chena ganovim she'achzidu es ha'kelim." That if ganovim return kelim that they stole. One second. Or a mini, but I have a contradiction. Same Mishnah in Taurus. Haganovim shenichas l'losech habayis. Ganovim will come into a house. Ein etomeh elamakam judas v'suragel haganovim. The only place that's tome is the places in the house where the ganovim walked around. The rooms that they went into. So fine, any room the ganovim didn't go into, we can accept that they didn't tome. You know, it's tahor. But anything in any of the rooms they went into will be tome, because presumably they touched it. So how do we trust them now when they return one set of kelim, they return your cups, and we trust them to say we didn't touch your plate? Why?
It should be all
tome, yeah.
Like the rooms.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. They were in the cups in the place were in the same room. They were in the same cupboard. They took the cups. They left the plate. We're saying, you know, our Mishnah, they returned the cups. We trust them to say they didn't touch the plate. Why? The Mishnah entitled it. It seems to imply that not. Amar Pinchas Mishmei Derab or Mishmei Deraba should also tshuva. Right, but our Mishnah is talking about that they're doing tshuva. Very appropriate for Yom Kippur. Why are they returning the cups? Because they're doing tshuva. So therefore, they're not going to be lying at the same time. We can prove that from the words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying they return the kelim. Now, why would we need to mention that? The point is, why do we trust them about the other kelim? Because they're returning the ones they already stole. They're doing tshuva. No, but it means that therefore, right now, when just like we said the other day by an Amma Oret, that he may not know the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara, but we trust him to say this fruit never became wet. The same way, we trust him to say, I never touched the plate. Or even we took the cups, but we didn't stick our hands inside them. Whatever.
Of course, they know the truth. No, you're not hiding anything.
Which actually, then, because of that, therefore, when we're saying that she'also tshuva, therefore, I think the Rambam says that therefore this only applies if they're returning it because they're doing tshuva. If they're returning it because they're afraid of getting caught, then not. So then we can't necessarily say we can't necessarily trust that they're telling the truth. Or Yerushalayim Neiman and Al-Kodesh, then we said that in Yerushalayim we trust these Gaboyim, these tax collectors, for purposes of Kodesh. Tana, we learn in a Brayta, Neiman and Al-Kodesh, Hagbasim Al-Kodesh, we even trust them about the large Kodesh as far as Kodesh. Before we said, the Brayta that we quoted before about buying Kodesh said we only trust them on the small ones. Here we trust them even on the large ones. B'chol kach lama, and why is that? This Kol Kach Lama Rashi says is referring back to why did we allow you to buy small kelim within the 15 mil of Yerushalayim? It's a continuation of the same braisa. Because you're not allowed to make furnaces. No, you're allowed to make fires. You're not allowed to make furnaces to make clay utensils to make clay ceret in Yerushalayim, because like we said, the smoke makes the wool dirty or whatever. So therefore. And so now that applies to large ones also. But fine, large ones you don't need to replace as often. But the small ones, that's what we were saying before, the cups and the plates and the pots and whatnot, you constantly need to replace because you're using them for kodshim. So therefore, and also there's the fact if any of them become tummy, there's nothing to do except break them. So because of all of that, there's a constant turnover of them, and therefore the Chachamim made these kolas to allow you to buy them. Mishnah had said of a shata regal akal atruma. So this is actually the key thing. Rashi had said at the beginning when we had last week the first Mishnah that started talking about Tumah V'Tahara, Rashi said, why are we bringing this all in over here? Because of our Mishnah, which the next Mishnayos, which talk about how Taras Amah Oretz does not apply during Yom Tov. So since we're talking about Sefer Chagiga, which is talking about the theme of Yom Tov, so we include this as well. So Manani merely, how do we know this? That we trust that Tumah Sama Oretz is suspended during Yom Tov. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Omakra, the Pasuk says, Vayeosef kol ishi Yisrael alahir, all the Jewish people assembled to the city, ki ish echad, like one man, chaverim, as friends. This is talking about Pelesh v'Giva. They're all assembling against the city of Giva to punish them for what happened over there for the story that they gave. But meaning Akasav, the simple meaning Chaverim is friends. But it means Akasav, Asan, Kulan, Chaverim. It means when the Jewish people are together, the Torah considers them all like Chaverim. They're not Amei Aretz anymore. Now, what's the reasoning behind
it?
Because that's as far as Karbanos. No, that's as far as bringing the Karbanos. Tumah Hotra B'Tzibur, or Chuy B'Tzibur, actually, it's talking about as far as bringing the Karbanos. Kind of bringing the korbanos, not as far as eating them, and not as far as eating truma.
It's just when you bring them?
Yeah. and it only applies to Trumas Nes. It doesn't apply to the other kinds of Truma. The whole reason for Trumas Ama Eretz is because of the concern of Trumas Zav. That's not suspended for that's not Chayvus Iver. No, this is a special din. So what's the reason for the din? So different Mepharshim talk about different possibilities. One is, you mentioned before, that Chayv Adam Latar Atma Verdagel, a person is obligated to make sure they're Tahar for Yom Tov. Even the Amei Eretz do that, and therefore we do that. The other reason we said the other day is that Shaloyeh burned the bubble last. We don't want everybody to start building their own Beis Mikdash and then having their own din of Truma V'Tara. The Rebbe has in Chelik Lamed Zayin a Sicha for Shmini that where he analyzes what the Rambam says about this. The Rambam does not mention any faith. First of all, the Rambam quotes a different pasuk. The Rishalmi actually quotes a different pasuk. Yerushalayim Abnuyah Ki Irshu Chubra La Yachdav. That when the people come to Yerushalayim and it's a Chubra, everybody's joined together. But the Rambam talks about the idea that he doesn't mention anything about that the people are. He says that everybody's metaro themselves. So what that means exactly? Different Mepharshim talk about it. The Rebbe goes through and slogs up the different possibilities. Eventually, what the Rebbe says is that Rambam's shita is that this that we're saying Tumas Ama Aretz is mutter during Yom Tov, because only during Yom Tov. We're going to learn. We'll continue tomorrow. Not tomorrow, on Sunday, Bez Hashem, when we finish. That actually, when we say it's allowed during Yom Tov, it's only during Yom Tov. As soon as Yom Tov is over, the thing that the Ama Aretz touched is considered tamei retroactively. So it's not, even in Yerushalayim, we'll talk about the last mission. We're going to talk about even the Kalim of the Beis Mikdash, which the Amei Aretz touched during Yom Tov. You have to tovel them after Yom Tov. So if we said, that's the thing, if we said that the Amei Aretz are Metahar themselves before they come up, then what's the problem? Why are we saying that after Yom Tov it becomes retroactively Tomei? No, what it is the Rebbe says, it's not, maybe not every individual Amei Aretz has been Metahar himself properly, but when all the people are together, when you have the Matzias of a Tzibur, then everybody's included in it, and therefore even the ones who have not actually made themselves Tar are still considered Tar.
That's what I was alluding to, but I didn't know that it's what you bring.
Yes. No, but that's specifically when you bring. But because there it's considered the Tumah is still Tumah, you're suspending it for purposes of Kabbalah. Here we're saying, even if an individual person was not Matahar himself, but because he's part of the Tzibur, then therefore he's considered Tar. We don't consider him Tomei at this point, unless of course we know he's Vadai Tomei, that's a different matter. But if it's Tumas Ama Aretz, then we consider, even though he wasn't Metahar himself the way he should have been, we still consider him part of the Tzibur, and he's still Tar.
If he became a Zav in the middle of
If he became a Zav, then there's no question, he's Tomei.
But he knows that.
But yes. Yeah. But with you,
really in a case.
But it's not there, because the normal Tumah of Ama Aretz, we're saying the Chachamim took away that Tumah during Yom Tov.
Right.
But as soon as Yom Tov is over, retroactively that Tumah was actually there.
Right.
And the Rebbe also connects it with the idea of being with a Tzibur and the idea appropriate to Yom Kippur about that when everybody's together, you have the level of Yechidah, that everybody's together. And therefore, the Yechidah is a level of the Neshama where there's no possibility of Tumah. That's why we associate it with Ne'ilah specifically, and that's associated with Yom Kippur specifically, and therefore there's no possibility of Tumah during Yom Tov.
Yeah.
Yeah.